I was born in a family where my father was also an Anglican priest. And so at the age of 7 and 8, I was in a Roman Catholic school. And my father befriended the chaplain, who was a Roman Catholic priest. And so from my childhood, I came to know about ecumenical relationships. And my father, that Roman Catholic priest, became the first ones to preach in each other's church just after the Second Vatican Council. So ecumenism for me was not something new. And then when I then went to seminary after my university studies, I also followed the Catholic seminary in Mauritius, a one-year course in philosophy. And we had teachers who were from the Catholic Church and other Christian churches. So we were molded with it. When I was asked by the Archbishop of Canterbury to come to Rome, I thought that, for me, who am I to be able to represent the Archbishop of Canterbury and to incarnate the presence, the visible and the permanent presence of the Anglican Communion? But nothing can be done without the grace of God. So all what I've been working for here, that is to enhance the quality of the relationship between the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Communion, was done only through the grace of God. And of course, as the personal representative of the Archbishop of Canterbury, I had to be able to translate his own vision, to work with him, so that together with Pope Francis, they could become beacons of hope to a world thirsty in its brokenness, that world in its brokenness, thirsty of peace, justice. And I think their travel together to the South Sudan is definitely a concrete example of this hope of making this visible presence a visible collaboration for the sake of God's world. So as I leave with this word inscribed in the profoundness of my heart, gratitude, because from an encounter, from mutual recognition, we are able to give to the wider, to the universal church, a new face. I would call it Fratelli Tutti.
Can I ask you, I don't know if what they need, but I think it's important also to ask you about what you think Justin Welby gave to the Anglican world, and also what are the challenges for the one who's going to, you know, work instead of him in the next few years?
I think he's been able to be a prophet of his time in the role and the responsibility he has had. He has focused very much on the need for the world to be urging for reconciliation, because reconciliation comes from the cross. We've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ and reconciled to each other through the blood of Christ. I think it's important that we retain from his ministry, either in the Church of England or in the Anglican Communion, that strong emphasis on the need for reconciliation. Actually, he's written a book about it. So these are things that need to be remembered. And the other thing is that he's been able to, with Thy Kingdom Come, which is the focus that is given to the need for the Church to be on mission, that is, serving the mission that God has entrusted to his church.
That's what shall also do his successor?
Yeah, I think each one, we leave from early Christians a sense of continuity, because we are serving the mission of God. But each one in his own context, and with the exigencies of the social context we live in, each one brings what he thinks would be good to give to the mission of God a rightful place in this world.
I know, but the challenges are so, you know, it's a heavy task. I mean, you speak about reconciliation.
I think each one has got a heavy task. You talk about a doctor having the heavy task of healing the world. People who come under him, it's not always easy with all the complexities of the way we live, the style of life we have. A teacher teaching a child. Each of us has got a responsibility. As a parent, we've got our responsibilities. And I think what we need is to let the grace of God flow in on us, and he will be the one, as St. Paul says, to guide us through. And that's what I wish, that's my hope, that the successor to Archbishop Justin will be continued to be overflowed by the grace of God.